Another important situation is the offtake agreement. Offtake means purchasing the produce which is produced from the project, either using the infrastructure project and making a certain payment, using the power project, using the power, making some payment. These are all aspects which are created in the offtake agreement. And it is again one of the most important agreements. Why? Because the sponsors will say, yes, why am I building this project? What is the guarantee that I will get funds? So, for them, this offtake agreement is created. It is an agreement between the project company and the offtaker. Offtaker means the party who takes that produce. In a project financing, the revenue is often contracted. All types of revenue is contracted. And this agreement governs the mechanism of price and volume which make up the revenue. What should be the price factor? What should be the volume? For example, metro railway being built, metro rail, what would be the fare structure? Toll, any roadways, there is a toll naka, toll being collected. What would be the toll to be collected for that particular highway area? And the intention of this agreement is to provide the project company with sufficient revenue to pay its project debt obligation, cover all the operating costs, and provide certain required returns to the sponsors. Most important factor again will come up that the sponsors who have given finance to the company, they also need a return. And that will be taken care of in this type of offtake agreement. There are different types of offtake agreements. Main offtake agreements would be take or pay contract. Under this contract, the offtaker on an agreed price basis is obligated to pay for the product on a regular basis. That's the most important factor. Payment has got to be on a regular basis. Offtake has got to be on a regular basis. And whether or not offtaker actually takes the product, even if the offtaker does not actually take the product, he has got to pay for it. For example, power generation projects. Power is being generated. There is an offtake agreement. If there's less consumer demand, then power has got to be purchased. If it is not being taken also, payment is being given to the sponsors. That is the first take or pay contract. Next, you have got power purchase agreement, commonly used in all power projects in the emerging market. The purchasing entity is usually a government entity. NTPC is purchasing the power from various private entities, projects. Whether they utilize the power or not, that is not the responsibility of the sponsors or the contractors. They need to be paid for their work. So it becomes an obligation of the government entity who is purchasing that power to take a certain quantum of power on regular basis. Purchase certain quantum of on regular basis and make payment for that. Then take and pay contract. The offtaker only pays for the product taken on an agreed price basis. Here, if he does not take, he does not pay. He will take and then he will pay as per requirement. And then there's a next one is on a long-term sales contract, the offtaker agrees to take agreed upon quantities of the product from the project over a period of time. This is various types of mining contracts. It's not taking one single stage. It's over a long period of time. Then there are contracts for differences. Project company sells its product into the market and not to the off-taker or hedging counterpart. Here, if the off-taker does not buy, he has got an option to sell it in the open market also. There's a throughput contract. This is a user of the pipeline agrees to use it to carry not less than a certain quantum, certain volume of the produce, and to pay a minimum price for this. This is in case where oil is transported by means of a pipeline. You know, nowadays pipeline oil, you are getting gas pipeline directly into your home. So this throughput contract is a type of a contract entered for such type of pipeline for oil and gas. Next, there is a supply agreement also. Just like you have got offtake, you also have a supply. When there is a project, a certain quantum of supply has got to be guaranteed. And this supply agreement is between the project company and the supplier of the required feedstock or fuel. Any project will work on a certain level of getting fuel or raw material or feedstock for the project. So he needs to be connected with the supplier of the feedstock, of the fuel, of the raw material, etc. And the volume of input supplies required by the project company is usually linked to the output. That means supplies of input, raw material, is always linked to the output. So offtake agreement and supply agreement will always go hand to hand. The main types of supply agreements are fixed or variable supply. Supplier agrees to provide a fixed quantum of supplies or a variable supply to the project company. Depending on the requirement, there will either be a fixed quantum or a variable contract. In this period, less, this period, more. That's a variable aspect. Then output or reserve dedication. Here the supplier dedicates the entire output from a specific source. That is like a coal mine or its own plant. He will dedicate that from this particular coal mine, I will purchase all the coal. He need not sell it anywhere. I may purchase less on a particular period, more on another period. But I will purchase totally from this particular coal mine. That is dedicated. That mine is dedicated to the supplying of coal to that project. Again, there is an interruption in the supplies. So, interruptible supply. Certain supplies like gas, they are offered on a low-cost interruptible basis, often via a pipeline also supplying to other users. Connected pipeline supply being given to various types of users. So it is always interruptible, that it may be interrupted by supplying to party A. It may be interruptible to A when it is being supplied to B. So that is interruptible supply. It's always a low-cost basis. Then there is a tolling contract. All the toll nakas that you see here, supplier may choose not to supply if it can be used more profitability elsewhere. If the government does not pay for the project, then he may increase his own method of applying the toll requirement as far as financing of the project is concerned. Again, there is a loan agreement also, because all the sponsors are giving money for the project. It is being treated as a loan, and nobody is guaranteeing the loan. Why? Because the project in itself does not have any assets of its own. And therefore, there are different types of loan agreements made between the project company and the lenders. Anybody who's lending money to the project will always want an agreement to be prepared. And therefore, loan agreements are prepared and executed between the project company and the sponsors. General conditions which are applicable over here is availability period during which the borrower is obliged to pay a committed fee. Then there are drawdown mechanics. Drawdown means over a period of time, I will do this portion of the work and I should be able to draw the money for that particular quantum which I have completed. An interest clause, that is charged at a margin over base price. There will first be a base price and then a margin interest clause will also be added. Next, there will be a repayment clause. Anybody who makes or gives a certain quantum of money to a project will always say, how do I get back my repayment? So there is a repayment clause in the loan agreement itself. Then there are other financial covenants like calculation of the key project metrics, ratios and covenants. That is fund generation of the project aspect will have to be calculated so that risk factor is taken into account by the sponsors. Dividend restrictions, sponsors will say, don't give dividend first, give us our money first. So there will always be a dividend restriction embedded into the loan agreement. First payment to the people who have given the loan and then to the dividend shareholders. Then there will be various representations and warranties clauses, etc., etc. And ultimately, there will be an illegality clause. What will constitute to be legal and what would constitute to be illegal clauses? These would be spelt out in detail in this loan agreement. Then there are intercreditors also. And there are intercreditor agreements prepared. Intercreditor agreement is agreed between the main creditors of the project company to govern the common terms and relationship among the lenders in respect of the borrower's obligation. For example, there are mezzanine creditors also, or those who make supplies of certain goods or services on a long-term payment basis, deferred payment basis. So such type of creditors also, there is an agreement built in which has got to be executed. What are the terms? They are first common terms, order of drawdown, on what basis, what period, what method I would be able to collect my money. Cash flow waterfall. They will always be observing the cash flow of the company. And based on that, this method of cash flow arriving should be given to us at this stage level. Then there are limitations on ability of the creditor to vary their rights. Creditors have also got their own rights, but they are variable rights, and therefore they will be spelt out that these are your rights, these are shareholders' rights, these are loan sponsors' rights. Intercreditor agreements may also provide for voting rights, and there may be notifications of defaults in payment. Any payments, there can always be a default clause. There will definitely be defaulting. So what would be the terms of the defaulting clauses? That would be spelt out into the agreement. And an order of applying the proceeds of debt recovery in case the project has failed. Then recovery of the debt, what would be order of repayment? Which class of people would be given first preference, second preference, third preference, quantum of the preferences to be given. If there is a mezzanine funding component, then the terms of subordination and other principles to apply as between the senior debt providers and mezzanine debt providers. This is also provided in the intercreditor agreement. Mind you, I told you right at the very beginning. It's a very complicated process. It's not a cup of tea for any Tom, Dick and Harry to jump into it. You need a certain quantum of experience. Then only you can get into this kind of business. There is again a tripartite deed. That is, the financier will require a direct relationship between itself and the counterparty to that contract. This will be established. What are the terms? What are the conditions in such deed? Acknowledgement of security. Yes, those who have given money, they would first want their security. And how that security will be acknowledgement, that will be spelt out. That is, confirmation by the contractor to the financier taking security over the project contracts. Notice of default. If there is any default, what is the notice method? What is the notice period? It's an obligation on the project counterparty to notify the lenders of defaults by the project company under the contract. Due to any reason, if default has to occur, then the project company has got to inform the sponsors that a default is coming. And then it creates a step in rights and extended periods. So sponsors will step into the picture when there is a default coming up. And then maybe an extended period may also be offered to ensure that the lenders' money, those who have given money to the project, will have sufficient notice or sufficient period to enable them to remedy any breach by the borrower. Remedy clause would be available. Then receivership. Now, these are all things which adds on to a stage where there may be a total disturbance as far as the project is concerned. Acknowledgement by the party regarding appointment of a receiver by the lenders. Lenders who have given money will appoint the receiver in case of total default under the contract, and that receiver may continue the borrower's performance. Borrower's performance will be taken over by a receiver nominated by the sponsors. And ultimately, when assets are required to be sold, what are the terms and conditions upon which the lenders may transfer the borrower's entitlement under the relevant contract? Borrowers have got to give their right to the lenders for sale of the assets of the project. This is always where failure there is a failure in the project. Next, we have the Common Terms Agreement. This is an agreement which gives common terms to the entire gamut of the parties to the project, A, B, C, D, right from the owner to the contractor to the sponsor to the SPV to the creditors to the intercreditors, etc., etc. There is a common terms agreement prepared, especially the financing angle, and the project company has got to set out the terms that are common to all the financing instruments and the relationship between the different entities. A common terms agreement greatly clarifies and simplifies the multi-sourcing of finance for a project and ensures that the parties have a common understanding of key definitions and critical events. Various stages, various events, critical events may happen, and common terms will specify what has got to be done, why, by which entity. That is a part of the common terms agreement. And the term sheet is the main agreement between the borrower and the lender for cost, provision, and repayment of the debt. The term agreement also outlines the key terms and conditions of the financing. Ultimately, it is the overall working of the financial aspect as far as the project is concerned. And the term sheet will eventually be replaced by the definitive finance documents when the project reaches its financial closure stage. Thank you.